tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Back your preconceptions of technology.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone. Sports Zone.
Back your preconceptions of technology.
A very good evening to all the Eagle FM listeners. You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone. And today, we're going to be talking about primarily rugby. We'll be joined by the CEO of the Namibia Rugby Union, that is Mr. John Haynes. And we're going to be talking all things rugby. And of course, speaking of rugby, the Rugby Union, Namibia Rugby Union finals took place this weekend on Saturday at the Hage Geingob Stadium, with some new champions being crowned. But of course, before we get to all of that, we will run through some other local news, local sports news in particular, and then we will chat to our special guest of the day, that is John Haynes, as I said, CEO of the Namibia Rugby Union. But before we get to all of that, of course, you are tuned into the Eagle Sports Zone, where we discuss all things sports. And if you haven't downloaded the Eagle FM app yet, it is free to download on the Apple App Store as well as the Google Play Store. Excuse me. All you have to type in is Eagle FM Namibia, and you'll have access to one of, if not the best apps in the nation, that allow you to listen to Eagle FM on the go wherever you are. Wherever you are in the world, that is, as well. Whether you're shopping, whether you're doing laundry, whether you're in a meeting you're not too interested in, it is all available in the palm of your hand. And if by chance you were not able to tune into a conversation on the Eagle Sports Zone, or any show for that matter on Eagle FM, we have every single show in the podcast section available for you to listen to at any time, any place, whether it's from last week, last year, last month. It's all available for you in the podcast section. Simply type in the program that you are looking for, and you will be able to catch up on your favorite Eagle FM programs. Also, you can listen to Eagle FM on the website, that is www.eaglefm.com.na. Same thing, free to listen. Podcasts are available for you there as well. And another application for you to download is none other than the Imba mobile application. That is a hymn book in the palm of your hand. Gone are the days where you need to carry a heavy, heavy hymn book. All you have to do is type in Imba on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, and it will be there for you, free to download. And you will have access to your favorite hymns from your favorite denomination, whether that's in English, whether that's in Afrikaans, whether that's in Oshiwambo, whether that's in Oshiherero, Selozi, Damaranama, German, Portuguese. They're all there for you in the palm of your hand. And on these applications, you'll find some great digital displays for you to interact with. Whether it is you're looking for a job, whether it is you're looking for the constitution? Were they looking for the latest budget? National budget, that is. Were they looking for labor statistics? All kinds of documents and information are available to you at your fingertips for the cost of $0 and 0 Namibian cents. And of course, tomorrow being Monday means that the Villager e-paper will be published. That is your number one source for business, economic, agricultural, policy-related, sporting-related news. Once again, free for you to access. All you have to do is send a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. Make sure to save the contact. Include your email address if you want to be receiving it on email as well. If you'd like to be receiving it on email as well, once again, the number is 081-200-4144. Make sure to save the number as a contact so that when the Villager does come out, it's sent directly to your mobile device. And today, I'm recording from the Ondangwa studio, so if you'd like to call in, if you'd like to call into the studio today on the Eagle Sports Zone, we are recording from Ondangwa. The number is 083-33-6609. That's 083-33-6691. And as I said, today we're discussing rugby. In the north, we'll be joined by the CEO of the Namibia Rugby Union, John Haynes. That is in a little moment. But for now, let's go through some local sporting news. We'll start with the Brave Warriors, who played their second 2025 COSAFA match. They played against Malawi. Second draw now. We drew 0-0 with Malawi. So it is now essentially out of our hands to qualify for the semifinals, seeing that Angola beat Lesotho earlier today 4-0. So Angola now leads the group on 4 points. We are on 2 points. So for us to advance, we pretty much need Angola to lose the next match and for us to win our match. But let's take a listen to our head coach, Colin Benjamin, what he had to say after the Malawi match earlier today. Here is Colin Benjamin.
Can I help you, if at all?
Yeah, obviously it's a difficult one. Doesn't really add much to it. But I still think if you look at how the match went, we had trouble getting accustomed or containing the Malawians with the long balls behind our backs. And they were basically also better in the 1v1s. We couldn't really settle and control that, and I think that was basically a bit of a hiccup for my team. Yeah, we have to get to be in competition and still build, and I think these are the lessons that you actually take from this, yeah?
And Coach, looking at current log standings, Angola 4 points, Lesotho 3, yourselves 2, and Malawi 1. Still in with the chance though.
No. I mean, we Brave Warriors. We had this game against Lesotho in 2 days. We're gonna definitely regroup. See what is it that we did wrong. How can we better it and go full force against Malawi.
And you say, Coach, lastly, you had trouble in this game, but what are the positives that you can take out of this one?
The positives is for me still that, like I said, in this transition phase, that you in competition and you have to integrate young players and players that's inexperienced and that never played at international level, so that a wise man came and unfortunately we had to take him off because of muscle problems, a Tyrese that's coming in. We've got a Levy there in central defense that is growing. With every match, it's an opportunity for them to grow, and eventually then get better and do good work for Namibia.
Thank you, coach. Hard luck today, but all the best in your next game.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yes, that was our head coach, Colin Benjamin, speaking to the media after our 0-0 draw with Malawi. And similar to what he said after the Angola match, you know, some inexperience there being the, don't want to say culprit, main challenge for the team there. You know, a lot of youngsters coming in. But yeah, that is what this tournament is for. As we heard the COSAFA media officer that spoke to us last, that spoke to us on the radar that was on Thursday. You know, this tournament is for development purposes, so a lot of youngsters, not just Namibians, youngsters across the region getting an opportunity to experience what a high-level international football is like. And no different for our youngsters there. So hopefully the fortunes will turn in our next match against, that is Lesotho, on a Tuesday evening. That'll be at 6 o'clock. And of course we'll be cheering the Brave Warriors on to see if they can collect all 3 points there. Staying in football, there was Debmarine Namibia Premiership football taking place this weekend as well. Of course, as we know, African Stars already won the league, but this was the final round of league fixtures. And in the they're branding it as the Northern Derby. We have KK Palace today, who played against Chula Chula. And with the win, 3-0 win over Chula Chula today, they officially finished in the top 8, which is quite impressive to do so in your first season in the top 8, to finish in the top 8. They finished above Blue Waters on goal difference by 2 goals. And trying to see if my sources can reveal any other results from the weekend. We have all right, while we wait on our sources to give us the results from the weekend, the Debmarine Namibia Premiership weekend. What we can do is discuss women's football for a brief moment. We had Beauties FC officially lift the FNB Women's Super League title. And one of our reporters was actually on the ground for this, and he caught up with a few of the ladies on the Beauties FC team. On the other side of this, we'll take a listen to that, and we'll continue with our program today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know. know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha would take your cabuna, Imatina, Omjo. Chica was a fat and anana, longish a fat yais, you eat a moshiwana. E moyao, or tango got it a money. Ana is a fat yanamibia, or bitom banawa, or jika. Say Sanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongish a fire occupied mo Igelefem Media House. We 20 meha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi fregi, we mepo yo mo programa de tu. Moambo, lengera selma, onara heta tuimu. Datunda tu, heari jamanon tano, oni aji. Igele fem, so ai.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. As I promised before the commercial break, one of our reporters caught up with the Beauties FC ladies at the FNB Women's Super League final match day. So both men's and women's football concluding with their league season this weekend. Let's take a listen to, he caught up with the captain, Melissa Mateos, and then Rauna Uhuru, who scored the match-winning goal in their match against African Stars that was on Saturday, as well as Helena Amwandangi. Let's take a brief listen.
Beauty FC, how do you feel about this victory, and how prepared were you to come to this final?
We are mentally, physically ready for this game.
Yeah.
But it was an easy task for us, and we knew Africans that will come out.
Yeah.
They will give us like pressure.
Yeah.
But we decided to follow the coach's instructions.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
Yeah.
And our aim was not to concede a lot of goals.
Yeah.
To keep a clean sheet.
Yeah.
And that's what we did.
No, as a captain of the team, I know you have a burden on your shoulder. How did you work together with your team, and how did you manage all these young ladies who are celebrating victory here? How was the management of the team?
It was not easy working with young ladies.
Yeah.
But we learned to like learn to each other.
Yeah.
And mostly the young ones.
Yeah.
They had the heart to learn for the team.
Okay. Thank you, captain.
Thank you.
Yes, Rauna Uhuru, you are the champion for today. You scored one goal and you give your team a win. How do you feel about this match today?
I feel amazing. I feel we put a good fight today.
Yeah.
And I think we really deserved it.
Okay, did you anticipate that you were going to score, or it just come by luck?
I already knew.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now, how prepared were you? How prepared were you, and who was supporting you to come to this stage of winning?
My coaches supported me throughout the whole way.
Okay.
And they prepared me for today.
Oh, okay. Now, looking at the next season, how are you prepared for the next season? Are you still going to maintain the trophy, or you? How are you going to feel?
I think we are going to put up a good fight against them, because I know they are going to try to challenge us.
Oh, okay. What is your message to those who want to participate? I know a lot of young ladies, some of them, they have talent, but they are scared of showing their talent, especially in football. What is your message to them?
My message to them is just never give up, even if you fail, because then eventually you will win.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Len. Yes, we are joined by Helena from Beauty FC. They won the league today. And Helena, how are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you? Good.
Jersey number 8, how do you feel about winning this game?
We are so happy because the last time we were second place and this season we decided to win the first place and the championship. We're just so excited and happy.
So how was the game? How do you rate the game for today?
There was a little bit of tension, not tension, but pressure from the African stars, but we managed to score one goal, so it's a win for us and we won the championship.
Mm-hmm. Now, looking forward for the next season, how prepared are you? What are some of the improvements that you are going to do?
We just continue training and working hard and maintaining our spot as the champions, so yeah.
Okay, who do you want to thank for this winning? Who do you want to thank apart from your coach? I know you are happy with your coach.
I would like to thank the supporters for continuing us, for supporting us every single game that we play, and yeah.
All right, thank you, Nick.
Yes, that was our reporter David Shombe, who was on the ground for the FNB Women's Super League Finals. Speaking to a few of the Beauties FC players, and you know, and one thing about the Women's Football League, as the interview alluded to there, their league is full of a lot of younger players in comparison to the men's league that has obviously older established players. I don't know the exact figure, but I'll say more than half, probably closer to 70% of the Women's Super League players are players under the age of 20, if not even younger than that. I mean, we saw at the recent COSAFA Championships how that whole team essentially was made of players that played in the Women's Super League. So, also, the winner of the Women's Super League walked away with $250,000 Namibian, with the second and third place. Second and third place receiving a cash prize as well.
Our reporter David actually also caught up with the First Rand Namibia Group Corporate Social Investment Manager, Rivonia Job. Let's take a quick listen to what she had to say regarding FNB sponsorship of the Women's Super League.
Of football in Namibia, why did you choose, or why your institution decided to choose supporting Women's League?
Yeah, thank you for the question. At FNB Namibia, we are passionate about equality in sports, mm-hmm. right? So supporting the Women's Super League is a natural extension of our broader commitment to our Namibia, to our nation, to our Namibian nation. Therefore, then building youth empowerment and creating a future of equal opportunity in sports in our broader society.
Yes, it was indicated that some of the players, or most of the players who are playing in this league, they are playing at the national team and also junior team of Namibia. How do you think this sponsorship is impactful to Namibia football, particularly to women football?
I must really say, as we have seen today, also during the games that started around 11 o'clock, the impact has been truly inspiring. Being particularly passionate about sports development from grassroots level, seeing players develop their skills through our sponsorship has been truly remarkable, and really with the finals now that we are still watching, it's really remarkable. We've seen improved performance and an increase in pride and professionalism among the players, and that's exactly the kind of impact we hope to drive with this sponsorship.
Yes, let us look at your thoughts. No, looking at this season in particular, we have seen some high-scoring games and standout performance from the likes of Memory Donga and the Beauties FC team, who were able to dethrone the FC August Ladies. What is your overall thoughts on this, season?
I must say, Memory has done exceptionally well for herself, with over close to 38 goals in the season. So this season has been exceptional. Really, really, truly exceptional. It's been filled with performances overall. Watching, the Beauties, the FC Beauties, claim their WSL title was truly exciting, especially considering how long it has been held by Ongos Ladies. So for the Ongos Ladies to really lose against Beauties FC. But in general, seeing teams and players not only rise to the challenge but shine in the field has been a true testament to the level of talent and commitment within the league and the country at large. Mm-hmm. I mean, as mentioned.
Now, moving on to the rugby. As I said, this was the final weekend of the domestic rugby season. You know, a lot of our sports coming to an end. Now it's officially off season time for a lot of our sports. The focus is now shifted to the international side of things with the Brave Warriors. As we know, their World Cup qualification is coming up soon. They're now in the COSAFA. On the rugby side of things, we know their World Cup qualification campaign is ramping up now with the Africa Cup and so on coming up in Uganda soon as well. And so, speaking of that, you know, they only played one round of matches this time in the local rugby league. And a large part of that was to focus, or for them to focus more on the World Cup qualification campaign, because, you know, it's not as automatic as it once was for us to qualify. The rest of the continent is catching up, so the federation feels it's time for us to really lock in and focus and securing an 8th consecutive trip to the World Cup, and hopefully this time getting a win at the World Cup. But back to club rugby. As I said, the season ended at the Haga Game Cup Stadium with FNB Kudus taking on FNB Wanderers in the final. Wanderers coming into the final undefeated. If you have been listening to the Eagle Sports Zone, you know I've talked a lot about how dominant they've been and how, truthfully, I thought no one could beat them. But that is the beauty of sports. Kudus came into this final backed by their thousands of supporters that follow them all around the country. Originally from Walvis Bay, for those that don't know, and they were able to defeat the unbeaten Wanderers. You know, we'll get to Wanderers in a second, but they were able to defeat Wanderers 50-32 in the final to claim their first Namibia Rugby Union Premiership title in club history, which is quite phenomenal. Local history being made there. And it was quite evident if you go to our social media pages to check out the interviews after the match, what it meant to the players, what it meant to the community. And I think FNB Kudus, they've laid a good blueprint for what sports teams can mean to communities. Now, on a previous episode on here, I can't remember now exactly when we spoke about the psychology that goes into being a sports fan. You know, when we talked about the continuum model, how you go from awareness to allegiance. Kudus is one of the few sports organizations in the country where I can say they've managed to give their supporters a reason to form an allegiance with the team. You know, it's quite remarkable to see people traveling from Walvis Bay to Windhoek every other weekend to watch the Kudus franchise play. There's not many teams in any sport really in the country where fans travel in numbers to watch their team play, whether that's in Windhoek or whether that's even in Swakop, you know, even though the drive from Walvis to Swakop, you know, is minimal. But from Walvis to Windhoek it's not a minimal drive. So kudos to Kudus. The Twang Tista there, but so it was great to see. It was great to see. And to see what it meant, as I said, to the people of Kudus. So congratulations to Kudus. And for Wanderers, no, quite remarkable that you go through a season, I believe it was 8 games, 9 games, undefeated, only to lose it The first game you lose during the season is the most important one, the final. No, I mean, they still played remarkable rugby throughout the season, so they can be proud of what they achieved, but unfortunately were unable to defend their title, which they won last year. And once again, if you'd like to join the conversation, simply dial 083-33-06-091. That's 083-33-06-091. We are recording live from the Ondangwa studio here on Eagle FM. And in the interview that I referenced that is on our social media pages, that's Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, Instagram, X. When our reporter on the ground, that was Mr. Dwight Links this time. You know, it even feels strange for me to report on sports news than I didn't report on. But our team did great this weekend, getting us content from all over the sporting sector. But when he spoke to Jacques Thiron, who also plays on the national team and is the captain of the Wanderers side, you know, he lamented, or he was disappointed in the referee's performance, even went as far as calling for the union to look into the performance. Now, I will admit I didn't watch the match live, so I can't confirm or deny the statements that Jacques made in that interview, but, or whether it's just, you know, he had difficulty dealing with the loss. But nonetheless, he did congratulate Kudus, but he also did make it a point to express his displeasure with the refereeing performance. And even as a fan, never mind an athlete, there's few things are more frustrating than when you feel, you know, it's not always the correct feeling, but when you feel that a referee is not on your side. But I'm sure Wanderers will come back stronger, and I'm sure the season will propel the senior team, the senior national team, towards World Cup qualification. So a lot of great performances from, you know, your stalwarts, that is your Thierons, your Dunkel Burgers, your Denzel Brewers, you know. We also saw some youngsters come through the ranks, playing, whether that's in the reserve leagues or whether that's in the Premier League. So, by the end of this year, we might have a situation where both the Brave Warriors and the rugby side, the rugby national team, qualify for the World Cup, which obviously would be unprecedented, would be the first time something like that happens. And speaking of World Cup qualification, before we continue with more rugby talk, in the Villager last Friday, being 2 days ago, as always, I write a sports column in there, and this week's edition, or this week's column, excuse me, was about how the Brave Warriors could be the face of the new sort of era of sports that we're entering here in Namibia. No, much has been spoken about all the grand ideas that the new administration has for the sporting industry, all the initiatives, all the money that's been spoken about. And if all goes as planned, the Brave Warriors really could be the face of this new era. No, we spoke about, last week we spoke about the, or 2 weeks ago maybe now, maybe even three, about the committee that was put in place to help the Brave Warriors, you know, to help the Brave Warriors qualify for the World Cup by getting them all the necessary resources and whatnot that they need. It was stated that they are looking to raise exactly 9.8 million Namibian dollars for this World Cup qualification campaign. You know, that is to get them the appropriate equipment, appropriate travel, appropriate staffing, all of those things, appropriate bonuses or compensation rather. And in the column I spoke on how, at least in my lifetime or in my experience, in my time following Namibian sports, I haven't quite seen an organization or a federation or a team be supported in this manner prior to the teams departing for a competition. You know, usually we see like maybe a week before an Olympic team is going somewhere, maybe a week before a federation is going to a major tournament, even a few days before, honestly, where we see like, okay, so-and-so company supports them with this, or the sports, the government, the ministry, or the commission, whoever it is, gives them something like right before departure. But in my, like I said, in my experience, I haven't seen the support come before the qualification has even taken place, which is what it should be like. So this is why I'm saying that the Brave Warriors could be the face of the new era. You know, maybe this will become a normal practice in all the other federations as well, where we see major support way before sort of the final product is finished. As I alluded to earlier, usually the support comes once they've already put in the hard work to qualify, or, you know, had to overcome crazy odds to qualify for whatever tournament it is. So now the support is coming before that to help them qualify. And even if, you know, there's a huge chance that this 10 million gets raised and they still don't qualify, and it is my hope that that doesn't serve as a deterrence to the rest of the industry to support our teams. You know, just because you throw money at something doesn't mean it'll pan out as you planned. And again, in my lifetime, we haven't been this close to World Cup qualification, so even if it doesn't pan out, the fact that we got this close, the fact that we all rallied behind the team in the manner that we are, you know, with COSAFA, I'm seeing the whole country rallying behind the Brave Warriors, even though results have been disappointing, but that emotional equity is still there. That allegiance that I alluded to earlier is definitely there with the Brave Warriors. So now they just need that to make that next step into competitive, into becoming a competitive outfit. Same with the rugby team. I can't really speak for the national, in terms of the national fanfare for the rugby team when we go to World Cups. You know, I mean, we've done it 7 times in a row, so it's kind of become normal for Namibians for the rugby team to be at the World Cup. But, just truthfully speaking, the past World Cups, I can't really remember that huge sort of national pride, national excitement, like fever pitch excitement for the rugby side at the World Cup. But if you are listening and you can remember such a thing, please do call in. Let me know. You know, some of these things we discuss here predate me and my experience, so it's always good to hear from those that were there for certain things, and that you can do so at 083-33-66-091, and that's 083-33-66-091. And okay, I was just seeing one of my sources was trying to talk to me there. But staying on local rugby, the Women's and Reserve League finals took place also, and the UNAM ladies took the title once again. They won it now three times in a row. They beat the Charleston United ladies. '57-17, as well as the Kudus reserve side actually beat the UNAM reserve side also. They won that 49-41, so Kudus doing the double there, actually. And the last bit of local sports news, the Cricket Namibia annual awards took place on Saturday. And it's going to highlight some of the... I won't go through all the award winners, of course. But I will highlight some of the major... Okay, actually, we'll do that towards the end of the show. But as we know, Gerard Erasmus won the Associate Player, Cricket Player of the Year. That's an international award, by the way, for those that don't know. I wouldn't say maybe Ballon d'Or level type of award, but, you know, if there was something of the ilk in the cricket world, essentially he won that, or something else, something similar to that. So congratulations to a Namibian shining on the international stage there. And speaking of the Ballon d'Or, that could be decided this, well, let me not get ahead of myself, that, but if Spain were to win the Nations League tonight, when they face Portugal in the final, that is at 9 o'clock, and the 17-year-old sensation Lamine Yamal continues to dazzle, you know, he could very, very much so be putting himself in, not only in contention, but in the lead for the prestigious Ballon d'Or award. You know, as it's pretty much a consensus that is between him and Francis Ousmane Dembele, who, of course, Lamine, well, with the help of others, of course, dispatched in their semifinal when they beat France 5-4. But tonight, he will be on our TV screens again and could... boost his chances for getting that Ballon d'Or, which would be incredible at the age of 17. I'm a quote unquote youth, and 17 sounds even young for me. So remarkable things happening in the sporting world. Now, let's get into our discussion with the CEO of the Namibia Rugby Union, John Haynes. An engaging interview that we had with him. Let's take a listen to John here about his journey and hear about what the union has planned for the not only upcoming year, but the future moving forward in this new sports area. Now I'm trying to talk to as many federation leaders as possible to get a gauge of their temperature on what what they think about this, not only this new administration, but this new era. I truly feel it's a new era of sports that we're entering in. And in my opinion, as I've said before many times on here, and as I've said in the column, it's an inflection point. It's either going to go one way or the other. And if it goes the not-so-positive way, as Jose Mourinho once said, I prefer not to speak, but let's take a listen to John Haynes. CEO of the Namibia Rugby Union, Mr. John Haynes. Thank you very much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Under the circumstances, being winter, I'm not going to complain. Thank you.
Yeah, of course, of course. So let's get right into it. If you could briefly introduce yourself and tell us what led you to the position of the CEO of the Namibia Rugby Union.
Well, everyone knows my name, John Haynes, CEO of the Namibia Rugby Union. My background in sport, management, administration, with a strong passion comes with a background of being involved previously with Cricket Namibia. Mm-hmm. And the journey has basically been years and years of involvement from a development office, becoming a coach and then an administrator. And yes, so I understand the whole mechanism when it comes to grassroots, from grassroots to governance level.
Mm-hmm. So if you could briefly share, what does the day-to-day of an NRU CEO look like?
Now, it's quite interesting. It's a balance of your strategic planning. Mm-hmm. It's also stakeholders and stakeholder engagement. Mm-hmm. And as well, it's managing operations and aligning the national teams, competitions, development, high performance. All those goals needs to be well balanced.
Mm-hmm. So now, speaking of those goals, in your time as the CEO, what has been a positive area of development or change that you've seen?
Well, I would rather say it's more of nothing. As I would say, changes shouldn't be seen as what has changed from day to night. Mm-hmm. I mean, the love of the game always will remain in place.
Yeah.
So it was basically improving the governance structures, mm-hmm. Obviously with the support of the store, not improving, but strengthening rather. Mm-hmm. And also that changing the major positive minds, I would say mindset shift in the support, mm-hmm. and just trying to build a stronger brand.
Excellent. So we've been covering the 2025 season. What are your thoughts on the season we've had?
Well, I would say the competition has been well contested. I mean, we've been spoiled with the quality of promising local talent. And then, we're not going to overlook the increase of the fan engagement or the fan base. Mm-hmm. And especially if you have to look at the coast and the north, mm-hmm. as also with the new competition structure, also basically injected almost like that revival of fan engagement, yeah, in the growth of the love of the game, yeah.
Now, speaking of the fanfare, I think it's safe to say rugby and football are sort of neck and neck. Maybe even could argue that rugby, on average, gets more supporters. But for example, we see the Kudu supporters, as you mentioned, always filling up the stands every weekend. In your view, what is it about the game of rugby that resonates so heavily with Namibians?
I would say it's rugby has always been seen as a sport, mm-hmm. that's loved by a diverse community. And do we want to compare to other sport codes? I would rather say that each sport code has its place within Namibia. Mm-hmm. But I also strongly feel that we should have a cross collaboration, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. where we, I've made a comment yesterday that look at the Sundowns and the Blue Bulls,
yeah.
coexisting in exactly. the same stadium.
Yeah.
So we need to basically, and that is how we basically should share those, rather work on a collaboration.
Now, just following up now on that collaboration, has there been any communication with the NFA in regards to this, or is this something that's still very much in the beginning stages?
That's in the beginning stages. Yeah. We've basically both sport codes has been working. I mean, we've recently supported with the hosting of the COSAFA under 17s girls tournament. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we will be able to see the Brave Warriors playing a few months from now in Namibia. So can we coexist in the same ecosystem in sport in Namibia? Yes.
Yeah.
And there are collaborations or reach out, communication and engagement.
And that's very, very interesting there. Now, getting back to Kudus, what do you think they are doing differently to the other clubs to gain such support? Because, you know, I ask this question because we also see in other sports that there's always like a select group of teams that have quite significantly larger support than others. So what do you think Kudus in particular are doing differently to get so many supporters behind them?
Well, I will not want to categorize them as what they do differently.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what are the successes? What mm-hmm. are they basically doing?
Mm-hmm.
There is also something that other clubs are starting to do, basically, if you look at the social media platform.
Mm-hmm.
That fan engagement is not just on the day at the field.
Yeah.
It is what happens before and after
yeah.
that. And that's building a strong culture, identity within your community. And basically that is... We should not miss the importance of investing in youth and the visibility that drives the loyalty mm-hmm. and the support of a fan.
Yeah.
So how are we going to attract a fan?
Yeah.
We as a mother body needs to also do the same.
Mm-hmm.
How do we attract our fans?
Yeah.
How do we get, and that's a nice terminology to use, bums on seats. it's what can we do to serve our community? And that will draw them to the game.
Most definitely, most definitely. And so lastly on the league season, this is now a two-part question. There was no sponsor for the league this year. Are you able to share what some of the challenges were in getting a sponsor? And I ask this question specifically because, at least from the outside looking in, you know, rugby seems to be a sport that really doesn't
Well, before, we've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future. Eagle FM.
On the other side of this, we'll get into some tunes from none other than Bob Marley.
Unlock your future with Goldstone Software Engineering Institute. 2025 intake for June, July is open for certificate and diploma in information technology, software engineering, human resources management, business administration, and various short courses such as AutoCAD, computer literacy skills, A+, and PC technician, etc. Goldstone Software Engineering Institute's courses are fully accredited by NQA and courses are very affordable. Goldstone Software Engineering, equipped with modern facilities and courses, are offered by qualified professionals. Funding is available from NSFAF and local banks. For entry requirements and to apply, go to our website www.goldstone.com.na or email admission@goldstone.com.na. For more information, call Anaria at 081-6576-365 or Aaron at 081-6354-851 or 061-234186.
Thank you. in Mount Zion. It rules all creation.
Yeah, we're jamming.
Every day, the pumpkins, I go away.
Sons of freedom. More of us loved each other, we'd solve lots more problems, and then this world would be a guesser. That's why old Pops keeps saying. I see trees of green, red roses too. think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, them grow, they're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself,
Olympic today. How about you?
Keep saying. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and
to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do? They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Ooh, yeah.
Feeling very Olympic today. How about you?
partnerships. I mean, if you look at the stadium, for example, there's branding everywhere. And now the second part of that is, when there is no sponsorship such as this year, does it mean that the federation administered the league essentially using its own funds?
Yeah, I would say, just to answer that question, the challenge lies in the current economic climate, in the lack of long-term value alignment with potential partners.
Mm-hmm.
Many companies support rugby in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've successfully, when we, I would say we, the new board, myself, when we walked in, there was already existing partnerships between clubs in certain companies. Also, for example, FNB's got a agreement with clubs.
Mm-hmm.
I just think there is something that we need to respect. Yes, we are looking for opportunities for a league naming right that requires deeper commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that we do need that.
Yeah.
When we do present, you've mentioned that we've successfully landed partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
But partnerships also not just money. It's also barter agreement.
Exactly.
And by doing that, those barter agreements, and it's asking the second part of the question, the union has basically made that commitment to provide clubs with a financial support.
Okay.
Not a sponsorship, but the financial support.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for example, the sponsorship through NBL.
Yeah,
it was one of the resources that we've basically plowed back into the clubs, and it was to the million to the value of 1.4 million.
Okay,
out of the 3 million, it was sponsored by NBL.
Yeah,
well known as the brewery.
Yeah.
1.4 was invested, and it's something that our community should be aware of.
Exactly,
1.4 million out of the 3 million was invested
into the clubs. That's excellent. Again, staying on the local rugby, at least from my observation, you could correct me if I'm wrong there, but it seems that the rugby participation in the country is pretty centralized, you know, meaning we see it a lot in Windhoek, Swakop, Walvis, Tsuma, Grootfontein, those areas. So now this leads me to believe that when it comes to the development side also, these are the areas that we're getting players from as well. So in your view, what do you think needs to happen to increase rugby participation in, you know, places like Nkuriankuru, Opuwo, Katima, all the different corners of the country?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say what we are currently working on
mm-hmm.
to make sure that we reach all 14 regions.
Yeah.
But it should be the case that our development
mm-hmm.
reaches. And it's quite key. We can do a wonderful program, we can do road shows, and you can do awareness, but can you successfully sustain that?
Yeah.
So in other words, to reach different towns and regions, we need to basically have development officers
mm-hmm.
maintaining that program. Then it becomes sustainable.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things that we are vigorously working towards to ensure that we target that outreach basically working with local partners like the schools
mm-hmm.
and then investing and training in community coaches
mm-hmm.
and that comes with corporates getting involved.
Yeah.
Because long gone are the days where you have a volunteer that will work for free.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that has caught up with us
mm-hmm.
that we need to have coaches. In the old days, when you went to school, it was a PEP teacher.
It was also like a math teacher.
Exactly, yeah. So if you look at the school hours, how can you put that additional responsibility on the teacher?
Mm-hmm.
But there is something that we will work closely with government,
mm-hmm.
is to tap into that the development.
Yeah.
And I will use the word funding, and without giving anything away.
Yeah.
The ambitious goal is to kick off a program in all 14 regions.
Mm-hmm.
It will be a case of rugby has arrived. I'm just going to leave that with you.
And I'm glad you shared that snippet with us. And also something we talk about a lot on the show is the human capital element that you mentioned, the need for that all over the country. And so last year when Jacques was appointed to his new position, Jacques Bergen, I was speaking about, We had him on the show, and the development of local talent was one of his big focus points. And judging by the recent success of the under 20 boys, where would you say we currently stand in terms of local rugby development?
Well, I would say in a short space of time, our under 20 performance serves a clear progress
mm-hmm.
that we are trying to work. And that was also based on our local coaches. That's Johan Simon and Hubert Opperman.
Mm-hmm.
I would say getting involved in signing an MOU with the NSSU
yeah.
also should be an indication that what we are trying to do is to close that gap between the union and the school's rugby.
Yeah.
And that is basically getting more involved, during 20, not getting involved, being involved,
mm-hmm.
and being part of that administration in 2026. This year we still allowed, after the MOU was signed,
mm-hmm.
we basically allowed the NSSU, the primary and secondary school committees to still function. Because we are not here to replace anyone.
Yeah.
We're here to work in partnership and make sure that that pathway aligns and are not disconnected. And that structured power pathway will give a clear indication for a primary school boy or girl child to identify one day I can also go through this pathway and represent the country. So I think putting that in perspective and in place first will be our part of our building blocks.
Excellent. And so, going now to the international side, to my understanding, the NIU has a good relationship with World Rugby. But for the listeners, could you share what a federation needs to do in order to have a good relationship with its international governing body? Because you know, a lot of people just think it's automatic, and obviously you and I know that that's not the case. There's things the federation needs to put in place. So, if you could share to the listeners what goes into developing that good relationship.
You are spot on. It just won't happen automatically.
Yeah,
it comes with a lot of responsibility,
mm-hmm.
and that requires consistent compliance,
mm-hmm.
Transparent reporting, aligned development programs, and demonstrating a long-term strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, trust is earned through delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Those specific consistency. And talking about transparency is basically just an example. World Rugby requires you to implement, because World Rugby fund programs.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that responsibility is to ensure that you comply. Yeah. That's an non-negotiable when it comes to World Rugby.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that we will be on a frequent basis say with our council.
Mm-hmm.
Compliance and transparency becomes crucial with World Rugby.
Of course. And so, speaking of World Rugby, it's a crucial year for World Cup qualification, and our qualification isn't as automatic as it's maybe been in the past years. Talk us through some of the things that the Federation is implementing for the upcoming World Cup qualification campaign.
Well, I will start off with what have we done over the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
We've launched a multi-phase plan, including the regional 15s.
Mm-hmm.
Although it wasn't as unsuccessful.
Yeah.
But due to unforeseen reasons, the regional competition had to be postponed. Only one leg could take place,
mm-hmm.
and that's part of that is our international warm-up games. And then that will basically strengthen our high performance program. And all the aim is to pick and prepare for the qualifiers. And I think that is part of the best qualification campaign that we could put together.
Yeah.
And I believe that the guys are doing the best to make sure that we are ready.
Yeah. Now, we've been to obviously 7 consecutive World Cups, and of course not for a lack of effort or lack of trying. We've yet to register a win at the World Cup, but I want you to describe the discrepancy in resources between Namibia and some of the other nations that participate at the World Cup, for just so the listeners can be able to contextualize or visualize exactly what it is the Federation has been tasked with when competing at the World Cup.
Well, that will take us back to 2022. That mm-hmm. was a year and 8 months before the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the reality. Our players, coaches, worked with a fraction of the budget seen elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I will actually share some numbers for interest.
Yes, please.
Limited test matches exposure, semi-professional structures, and constrained funding.
Yeah.
Yet we remain competitive through passion, grit, and smart planning. It's nice, beautiful words to share.
Yeah.
But if you look at actual financial statements in 2022 and 2021 respectively,
mm-hmm.
with the likes of New Zealand,
yeah,
the operational budget was $3.5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Namibia raised were funded by World Rugby in the same year, 2022, $7 million.
Exactly.
So in actual fact,
yeah,
this is the reality. You had a $3.5 billion scrum against the $7 million.
Yeah.
So the playing ground is not even.
Mm-hmm.
And our neighbors across the Orange River, South mm-hmm. Africa, operational budget was $1.6 billion.
Yeah.
So how can you compare the two?
Exactly.
And for interest, for our listeners,
mm-hmm.
I know there's always a story that goes around. Why so many support staff? I know this is part of the question, but
yeah, please.
Yeah, we went to the World Cup with 38 players.
Mm-hmm.
And with my background with cricket, there's always 14 or 16 players going to World Cup. There already you have a double the amount of players that goes to the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine one physio with 35 players or 36 players.
Yeah.
So Italy will be touring Namibia, and they will be arriving with 19 support staff. So and I came to respect rugby, not that I disrespected the sport code,
mm-hmm.
Respect and appreciate the amount of work that goes into it. I mean, your forwards alone, you've got a scrum coach,
mm-hmm.
you've got a line-out coach, you've got a attacking forward coach, you've got a defense forward coach,
yeah.
You've got your, there is a lot of technical aspect that goes into the game. And it's not just the case that you have a coach that works forwards and backs. There's a number of coaches. You've got video analysts.
Mm-hmm.
You've got conditioning coaches. You've got GP monitoring coaches. You've got
nutritionists,
everything. Yeah. So everything's that we are overflooding our coaching staff. They have to basically familiarize themselves with rugby first before you can be judgmental.
Of course. Mm-hmm. I'm very glad you shared that, especially the discrepancy in numbers. And now, just for interest's sake, that for example, New Zealand and South Africa, do they get their funding? Do their government support them as well, or is that strictly from World Rugby?
Well, I mean, if you look at the current funding module,
mm-hmm.
if you are test playing a tier one test playing nation, you basically get a bigger chunk
of
World Rugby's funding.
Mm-hmm.
If you find yourself in a lower category, in a tier two category,
mm-hmm.
you basically find yourself in a lower funding category.
Okay.
And that's the difference between, I've shared some numbers with you,
mm-hmm.
the 3.5 billion versus the 7 million. So, I mean, there was a famous video making rounds during or after the World Cup that all unions received 9 million pounds. I'm quite familiar. I'm quite familiar with that video.
Yeah.
And you might have also seen that. So that was someone that this was just thumb sucking.
Yeah.
If we received 9 million pounds, believe me, we will be. We will basically sit with a professional league,
mm-hmm.
or professionalism will be an easy achievable. I would say achievable goal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking of professionalism, you know, sports commercialization has been a big topic of conversation lately, especially with the new administration and the initiatives they have proposed. Realistically speaking, now, how far away do you think we are from having a professional rugby league in Namibia?
Well, to quantify that question, how far are we away from it? And my answer will be, we are laying the groundwork, because mm-hmm. if you lay the groundwork, you will achieve what you need to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
Because what does a professional setup looks like?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we are a few years away from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen overnight.
Of course, yeah.
But with increased commercial interest,
mm-hmm.
Structured investment,
mm-hmm.
in a stronger club system, it is achievable, totally achievable. And it comes back to the professionalization of any sport code,
mm-hmm.
comes with a commercialization and then a strong structured investment,
mm-hmm.
because you cannot fuel or drive a vehicle without fuel.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Is there any last words, any last comments you'd like to give to the listeners before I let you go today?
Yeah, come and support us. I mean,
unlock your future with Goldstone Software Engineering Institute. 2025 intake for June, July is open for certificate and diploma in information technology, software engineering, human resources management, business administration, and various short courses such as AutoCAD, computer literacy skills, A+, and PC technician, etc. Goldstone Software Engineering Institute's courses are fully accredited by NQA and courses are very affordable. Goldstone Software Engineering, equipped with modern facilities and courses are offered by qualified professionals. Funding is available from NSFAF and local banks. For entry requirements and to apply, go to our website www.goldstone.com.na or email admission@goldstone.com.na. For more information, call Aneria at 081-6576-365 or Aaron at 081-6354-851 or 061-2341-86.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsi Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-2358-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Back your preconceptions of technology.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Let's have John finish up the conversation before we get back.
Setup looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we are a few years away from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen overnight.
Of course, yeah.
But with increased commercial interest,
mm-hmm.
Structured investment,
mm-hmm.
and in a stronger club system, it is achievable.
Yeah.
Totally achievable, and it comes back to the professionalization of any sport code.
Mm-hmm.
Comes with a commercialization and then a strong structured investment,
mm-hmm.
because you cannot fuel or drive a vehicle without fuel.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Is there any last words, any last comments you'd like to give to the listeners before I let you go today?
Yeah, come and support us. I mean, we've basically planned out this whole, apart from preparing for the World Cup qualifiers, we've basically lined up a few exciting weekends
mm-hmm.
Taking place in June, is to ask our rugby supporters to come and support us. The 14th of June, we're in Walvis Bay.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing Uganda with the Valvitias. There's just to avoid confusion, we've got the Valvitias. And then we have the Namibian national team.
Okay.
And that is part of our laying the groundwork. Part of professionalization is to have a franchise team.
Yeah.
That's why we play with the Valvitias, which will one day be our professional and our commercialized product,
mm-hmm.
or stepping stone towards the national team.
Okay.
And then the 21st of June, we've got the Elling Pumas back in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big one, which will take place on the 27th of June, that is a Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
And that will be against Italy. And that will be Italy, the team that's going to play South Africa the week after that, on the 5th
of
July. So it's not the Italy B or C team, it's the full strength.
The official
Italy team.
Yeah.
And part of this is punching above our weight. Yep, and that is part of the groundwork that we are laying.
Of course. Thank you very much for your time today, and I wish you best of luck with all the endeavors, and I'm sure we will see the boys in the World Cup in 2027.
Definitely. Uganda is around the corner, and I believe you will qualify.
Thank you.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. That was Namibia Rugby Union CEO John Haynes giving us a very insightful and engaging interview there. Few points I'd like to touch on. Of course, if you'd like to chime in with any comments or insights you'd like to share regarding that interview or anything else really, you're welcome to call in at 083-3366-091. That's 083-3366-091. The first point he touched on, or the first point that I would like to address that he touched on is the point about the need for more coaches and whatnot around the country. Essentially human capital. No, I'm starting to sound like a broken record on here when I speak about this, but I can't understate the importance. And as you heard there, the CEO of a federation telling you the same. The importance of human capital in our quest for sporting development. It cannot happen without the people. Without the people in place to implement these things, to maintain these things, and to develop these things. You know, on paper, your plans can be as beautiful as the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. You can put hundreds of millions of dollars. You can even go into the billions. But if the people aren't there, there's nothing you will achieve. Absolutely nothing. And there we have a CEO agreeing, essentially saying what I've been preaching on here. Another point I would like to discuss is the discrepancy in funding. The discrepancy in funding between what Namibia is tasked to work with when going to the World Cup and what, you know, you're basically your tier one nations, you know, your New Zealand's, your South Africa's and so on, left to work with. And when John was speaking, I hope those that are listening, you were able to contextualize our performance at the World Cup. You know, like I said in the interview, it's not for a lack of trying that we haven't won in seven tournaments. And we haven't won a game in seven tournaments. There's just certain, certain barriers as to why we haven't been able to perform as one might think. You know, when you're sitting at home, it's very easy to say, these guys there, they always go to the World Cup, never win. What's their problem? But what a lot of people don't know is, like he said, you have a $3 billion scrum versus a $7 million scrum. Like, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? So, and another point, I remember the story that he mentioned about the Federation receiving £9 billion or something like that. I do remember that story. Even I was shocked at that story to think, okay, what do we do with that money? But obviously that wasn't true. And he explained as well that it wasn't true. And the amount of people that are needed to make a team succeed at the World Cup. This is now when we get into the whole conversation about professionalization and things like that. You know, there's no professional rugby team doesn't go to the World Cup with one physio, one team doctor. Like he explained, you need several of these people. You know, you can't have one team doctor, one physio to look after 30 players and expect to compete with a team that has maybe, let's say, 5 or 6 per 30 players. You know, that ratio from 1 to 30, that ratio 1 to 30 to, let's say, 1 to 6 or something, if you have more, it makes a big difference. You know, and when we're talking about the World Cup, I think something a lot of us forget is we're talking about elite sports. This is the highest level of rugby that exists. Maybe if you want to argue your Super League and so on, but this is the highest level of rugby that exists. So the margins already are fine. You know, the margins between the top, let's say 5 teams or so, or the top 4 teams, let's say the teams that go to the semifinals, the margins between those teams are fine. And so you need to pour resources into the team, into the system, to gain that extra 0.1%, to gain that extra 0.5%, to gain that extra 1% that'll push you over the line. And so I'm very glad that he revealed those figures to us, the discrepancies in funding that a nation like Namibia receives compared to others. And my hope is that as fans, when we're discussing the performance of this team in particular, you know, and this can cross over to other sports as well, because it's not only rugby that experiences this issue, but when we're discussing the performances of our teams, let's discuss with, you know, some context in mind. Of course, we all want the team to win. Not saying we should just accept the losses, but sometimes there's a reason for said losses. And sometimes we lose sight of the fact that we are punching above our weight, like significantly punching above our weight, which isn't an easy thing to do at all. And speaking of punching above the weight, I left out in the local sports roundup about one of our boxers, that is Jeremiah Nakadira, who was over in the United States in Norfolk, Virginia to be specific, fighting at the Scope Arena against up and coming star Abdullah Mason, an American. Nakadila was scheduled to fight 10 rounds, but the fight was unfortunately, for our sake, stopped in the 5th round. Abdullah won that on a TKO after Nakadila. No, it's even on video. You can hear him say it in the video that he couldn't see out of his eye anymore, so the out of his left eye, due to a deep cut that he was given by Mason. So the fight had to be stopped early in the 5th round. But we have another fighter who's going to fight in the USA. That's Mateus Hayter. He'll be fighting in the Madison Square Garden. Will be the first Namibian to do so. So hopefully he will be able to do better than Nakadira did, but major achievement nonetheless, just being there, fighting in Madison Square Garden. So kudos to his team of promoters. And on the other side of this, we will round up. We'll get into some of the winners at the Cricket Awards, and then we'll round up our conversation for the day. As always, you are tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone. If you'd like to call in, the number is 083-3366-091. That's 083-3366-091. We will be back right after this.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Fuck your preconceptions.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Colin Benjamin just had his post-match, his official post-match press conference. So let's take a listen to what he had to say there. As I said, qualification for the semifinals is going to be very difficult now. It's not in our hands anymore. This was a crucial match. It was now the Malawi one. And that's the nature of the COSAFA tournament, honestly, is that because there's so few matches, each match is weighted more. Every point counts. And when you drop 2 points like we did this afternoon, things become very, very difficult. I mean, our first match in Angola, you could say we gained a point, considering the circumstances, considering the penalty conceded with 2 minutes left to play. And then we equalized in the 97th minute. You know, fair enough. Point gained there. But today was a must win. But nonetheless, let's take a listen to Coach Colin.
Yeah, I think it was a roller coaster. I thought today's game could probably pick up a bit more points, or 3 points. Obviously, you also have a team that has some things that can be picked up. They were aggressive in the big fights. They forced us to be more forceful in our defense and
with the weapons in rehab and like I said, it's still so open that both teams are going to play full out, and I think we can just move forward to the match.
Any other questions?
That was Coach Colin Benjamin in his official post-match presser there, highlighting some of the lessons that the team is learning. The largely young team, there's a few experienced characters in there, but largely young team. Hopefully this tournament will be the springboard that the Brave Warriors need to push for what would be a historic run. We basically need to go 4-4-4 in our next couple of fixtures. That's World Cup qualification now that I'm speaking about. For us to achieve the tangible dream of a World Cup qualification. As always, the line in the studio is 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091 is the number here in our Ondangwa studio. I will be with you until the hour of 8 p.m. Little less than 20 minutes remaining in the program. And on the other side of this, we'll round up with the winners of the annual cricket awards that took place, select few winners, you know, because there is a long, long, long list of people that they gave awards to. But on the other side of this, we'll get into that. And we'll hear from our favorite uncle, who we always hear on the Eagle Sports Zone. That is Mr. Jimmy Cliff.
Come on, let me rock, rock, rock. Samba reggae. Come on, let me jam, jam, jam. Samba reggae. Come on, let me rock.
Just got better. Bharti's fiber packages that give you unbeatable internet speeds at unbelievable prices. Enjoy speeds of up to 10 megabits per second, starting from just $500 Namibian, excluding VAT. Sign up now for these fiber packages that are pushing the boundaries of innovation, so you can enjoy more connectivity, faster browsing at even more affordable prices. Visit your nearest Bharti's offices to find out more, or go to bharti.africa/Namibia to sign up online.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. And before we close off, as promised, before the sounds of Jimmy Cliff, we will go through some of the results from the Cricket Namibia Awards, which took place yesterday evening. That was in Windhoek. And we will start with the Capricorn Eagles. That is the women's national team. The bowler of the year was Wilka Mwatile, one half of the Mwatile tandem that is on the women's national team. The two Mwatile sisters who have been standout performers. Wilka walking away with the bowler of the year award. The batter of the year, none other than the captain, Sune Vitman. And back again, the other half of the Mwatile sisters is the Capricorn Eagles players' player of the year, Mekelaye Mwatile, winning that one. So both sisters walking away with individual awards at the Cricket Namibia Awards. Wilka walking away with another award, winning the player of the year award. And then she also actually, so three awards for Wilka. She got the Capricorn Eagles Change Maker Award, which I believe is a social, more of a community related award. So she's having an impact on and off the field. Capricorn Eagles, the Connector of Positive Change Award winner, that is the captain, Sune Vitman. Going over to the men's side, most improved Eagles player is JC Bolt. T20 player of the year, none other than Gerard Erasmus, the captain. National ODI player of the year, Gerard Erasmus as well. The players player of the year for cricket at the Cricket Namibia Awards, Bernard Schultz. And then the player of the year, none other than, of course, Gerard Erasmus, before you get back to Gerard, coach of the year, Francois van der Merwe, Capricorn Eagles, that's the women's side head coach. As I was saying, about Gerard, he won the ICC ICC Men's Associate Cricketer of the Year, was Namibia's very own Gerard Erasmus. So, great achievement. Having a Namibian represent us on the national stage, essentially being voted as one of the best cricketers in the world. And looking forward, to any sports coming up in the near future, being in the next few days, we of course have the MTC Netball Namibia Premier League taking place, which also took place over the weekend. That is at the Comastar Stadium in Windhoek. That was weeks 3 and 4 taking place. If you're looking for results on that, you can tune into, or you can log into our social media pages. We will have the results up there from the weekend. When it comes to netball, volleyball should be making its return as well. I believe this week they are in. Let me just confirm with my sources. Round 3 will be taking place in Otjiwarongo, but that is only on the 28th of June. So towards the end of the month is when volleyball will make its return. And those of you that have been listening, when the league kicked off in, I can't even remember when that was, but when it kicked off here in Windhoek, maybe a month or so ago now, the electricity in the venue took me by quite a surprise. I didn't know that volleyball had such fanfare here in Namibia. So it's great to see that fanfare will now be making its way to Chivarongo after being in Rundu for week two. So it's actually good that volleyball travels around the country in the manner that it does. And seems Namibia has picked up a new favorite sport in volleyball. So let's see if this season will be as big of a success as last season was, which was the inaugural volleyball Premier League in Namibia. This year too, see if it'll leave the same mark. But in terms of local sports, other than COSAFA coming up as well, of course, as I said at the top of the show on Tuesday, we'll be back in action against Lesotho. Must win. We'll see if we can engage our media officer once more during the week. If you'd like to listen to that conversation, like I said, on the Eagle FM website, all our podcasts are available for you. All our previous shows are podcasted there, excuse me, on the Eagle FM website, www.eaglefm.com.na. Type in the show that you're looking for and you will get free access to our entire past discography. But for myself, that has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. We will be back same time, this time not same place, because I will be back in Vinton next week. But we'll be back same time, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. We will have a special guest once more next week in the studio, one that I'm 100% sure that you would not have been expecting. But we'll leave that for next week. This has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. And as always, stay tuned to your favorite and number one talk radio station, that is Eagle FM. We will see you next week. And don't forget to watch out for The Villager coming out tomorrow morning, bright and early, straight to your mobile device. If you haven't subscribed, send a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. And
you are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.